This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hordock, joined by Triple OG, Whitman Mason. OG, it is round five preview time, mate. Yeah. Before we get into that, we just want to let everyone know that Lukey has got the fight of his life up at Gold Coast, at the Gold Coast Convention Center. So to get involved and to get around this this fight that Lukey's a part of, it's the Battle Royale of podcasters. It's going to be a great event.
It is Levels versus fucking Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol, baby. I seen one of the boys the other day. He's looking fit too.
You're going to fucking pump Paw Patrol.
This is, if you want to follow it, go to Alpha Events Co. on Instagram for all of the updates. While you're at it and you just want to help us out as well, make sure you like and subscribe to this show, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Apple, whether it's on Spotify. You can leave us a podcast review and all the good stuff, mate. Mm. Instagram, TikTok, basically growing at about a couple hundred per week.
It's good, man.
That stuff helps us out. Yeah. That means the world. That's, we can keep doing this podcast forever.
I'm a little bit excited today.
I feel good. But I feel like you've got an extra reason. You've got the fight of your life happening as well this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. I'm nervous and I'm excited because it's our 20-year anniversary from winning the 2004 grand final. Right,
there we go. I'm going to give you a clap.
And, you know, the Bulldogs are doing, you know, inviting everybody down who was in that top squad, anyone who had to do with that 2004 team. So everybody's coming down.
So how many? So
I think it's like 26.
26 deep? Yep. No, so the whole like squad that are involved
JT,
in the year.
JT, Sonny Bill.
Yep.
You know, Rennie Mitour, Willie Tonga, Dennis Scott, Jamie Feeney, Steve Price, Luke Patton.
Give me an underrated name that people might not – like because people associate you with Ren and Tong.
Brent Sherwin.
Yeah, Sherwin.
Corey Hughes.
Like who are you most looking forward to locking down and having a schooner?
I love Corey Hughes. Okay. And he only lives over in Cronulla, but he's always busy. He's at the Wharves, you know what I mean? He's just busy. Busy hours, man. They're fucking, it's just life. Yeah, it's just life.
It's very hard to catch up with people these
always
days.
Always love having a drink with Smack. Brad Moran, good guys. You know, I always see Ren all the time, but it's always fun having a beer with him. Mark O'Mealy, I see him at train all the time. Bobcat. Yeah, guys like that. Roy Asatasi. Yeah, JT. Roy. SBW doesn't drink, obviously. But it's just not even about that. It's about just getting that whole crew together. You know, like it's we'll be down in the eastern suburbs today. About 10 of us will come over here, and then it's gonna be early start, mate.
Yeah,
probably about 12:30 start. Time. I'm thinking, yeah. And then
so you've get trained, an Uber, you're feeling good.
I'm feeling good because I trained. I got it after it this morning. E-lab. I'm like, I can't just roll into this with nothing. Get there. Get over to Homebush about 5 o'clock. Mingle with the members because that whole. Those members, they love our generation. You know what I mean? They'll never get to see. They won't see JT or Sonny or anything like that. And, you know, all these guys. I haven't seen Willie Tonga for ages, Steve Price, all these legends. You know, they get to sit there and have a beer with us for about an hour. And then we go upstairs and then we have dinner with the current squad. They give us our jerseys. It's a replica of like the 2004 jersey with your name and number. So they're making a big deal of it. And then on Friday, we'll have a lunch.
As they should be.
Yeah, they should make a big deal of it. Yeah. You know, 20 years. It's special, right? And that group is very special. It's a very special group. And then tomorrow, and then the Friday, that's going to be a tough carry, right?
Yeah.
12:30 at some joint that we're nominated for lunch, and that's where everyone will be. And then we've got to go to Homebush again, and then that's when we'll do a lap of honour and a guard for when they run out because we're playing against the Roosters. So that'll be special. I think that'll bring back a lot of really good memories where it's like, because we haven't walked around that lap, you know, since with that bunch of men all together.
Yep.
You know, we're in different all stages of our lives and stuff like that. And it could be emotional for some. Could not. It be just really nostalgic and just, you know, like just enjoy the moment. So I say, always enjoy the moment. Be in the moment. Be aware. You know, it's always be present. Just like it's a good time. I said, even like to try and organize this sort of shit was hard because players like, fuck it. You know what I mean? I'm busy. Yeah. I said, no, you can't be busy for this sort of stuff, man. This is it's 20 years. It's something it should mean something to you. And it does. That's why every single player that played, apart from Benny Harris, right?
Okay, where's Benny?
So he's a pilot, right? So he's overseas. Yeah. He's 100%. He's the only one who's got the pass. So everybody else is there.
Okay. Awesome, mate.
Mate. I can't wait.
Well deserved. Obviously, I grew up as a fan hating that dog scene, but it's come full circle for me. A lot of you are my good mates. So enjoy the weekend, mate.
Be good, man.
You well and truly deserve it. And I know before you're getting into it, you're going to be drinking plenty of beers, but you trained this morning. You would have had the BSC energy.
I had to.
Yeah, you would have pumped that out and got ready for it because if you haven't tried it, the energy drink at BSC, This is what gets us through. Yeah. Before we get and do this podcast, we pump out the BSC energy drinks. It's got 160 milligrams of caffeine, no sugar, no carbs. It's has to test it. So the boys aren't playing anymore. But if they were, then that'd be sweet.
10 of them. 10 of them I'd have before.
10 of the best and get going for the game. And maybe we might shake it up, chuck it in there and give it to a couple of boys. When they hand you the jerseys, maybe they get a BSC energy drink in return. Let's get to a bit of a twist on a segment. So normally we do the YouTube questions, but off the back of some of our YouTube questions for the preview, I got some YouTube replies. So we asked a question. There was a question about players not watching video that we addressed on Monday. Everyone's different. And I got a few responses from Bushy Bill and Darryl Wallace. So apparently Dill Brown has been quoted as saying he doesn't watch much footy. And Api Korosau is also another one who said on a podcast that he doesn't watch games. So it's funny. I'm not surprised by those two just because I feel like they're really instinctual players.
Yeah.
And it's not like for me, I was a footy head. Mace, you're a footy head. Yeah. That's just how we were wired. And I think I know both of these guys are ball players, but they're not your typical ball players, if that makes sense.
They're off the cuff.
They're off the cuff
they
sort of players.
They look for cues. So,
They're footy players.
My sort of rebuttal with that would be it's because they watch so much video. Those two would be in the video room nonstop, looking at marker defenses, looking at cues around the ruck, you know, Dill Brown's like that, you know what I mean, looking at the foreman and all this sort of stuff. He slides out if there's a lead runner. That would be nonstop. So I can understand for players like that when they say that. It's just, it doesn't mean they don't like the game. They're just so in it every single day. They're probably one of those guys that probably watch so much more video than everyone else.
Yeah.
I think those two are like that. And they play very instinctual.
Or even if they weren't, I agree to a degree.
You think
there's some people got the knack. Like specifically Indigenous boys, right?
Yeah.
Like if you think a lot of the Indigenous boys that we've played with over the years where you're like, they might not put in a shitload of reps on the footy field, or you don't see them watching a shitload of footy, but it just comes natural. Footy just comes natural. So, like people are different. Mm. Like you got, if you look at the prime example with the game managing Haas, like if you look at a guy like Chad Townsend, for instance, and I don't know Chad personally like that,
yeah.
I'd imagine Chad would have to be watching a shitload of games, a shitload of footy, and because that's his role, he knows he has to maximize with limited ability, similar to myself as a back rower, where I had to go, I have to watch so much because I needed that to be on level with some players, whereas some players are just so naturally talented that they just get it from feel.
And they get enough out of the video.
Yeah.
They get enough sort of thing. It's like maybe for some players, everyone's different, man. Mm. Like too much footy is an overload for them, right? To watch games every single weekend and to be at training every day watching video, and it's just like, dude, it's overwhelming sometimes. Mm. It's like sometimes I just need to play the game, see what I see.
Especially if you dropped a couple.
Yeah.
Like,
what is this going to do? Why am I just over like this video, like nonstop watching games, like maybe just back off a bit. Everyone's different. Mm. You can't approach – I'm not telling anyone, a young kid, to watch games on Friday night. All this sort of stuff. But I'd encourage you to watch more video, watch more tape.
Yes.
Now, I run through tape with like me and Ogre myself, with a lot of the middles for the SG ball team because they need to watch themselves. Yeah. We never got those opportunities.
That's super important. What do you think?
You got me and Marco Mealy with these middles. Like, and we're not harsh on them, right, but we're fair. Like it's more positivity, more reinforcement. But, dude, you need to work on this.
Yeah.
These are the tools. We're trying to make you first graders.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to make you the best SG
That's
ball.
Invaluable,
I'm not trying to make you the best SG ball player of all time.
Yeah.
I want to make you an NRL player. Yeah. You give a fuck about if we don't.
Explain that. Sorry, just quickly explain that. So something that where they might go, it might – There are traits in their game where it's like, all right, you can do this. For instance, if you're a big boy, say 110 kilos, you could easily just run over some of these players because you're naturally bigger than them. But when you get to the top grade, when everyone starts to even out, you're going to need a tip on. Yeah. You're going to need an offload.
Because so as I said, right? That's the tips. It's just like, well, when you get to about 18, 19, right, it equals out. Then you're going to get every kid who's as big as you. And the difference point is what? Has he been coached properly from 12 to 16? The fundamentals, the 3-on-2s, like, you know, he mightn't, you know what I mean? Like the skill set, right? The fitness work, all that sort of stuff that you need to be put in. That's why it's so important at that age to have a good coach. Then in 15s, you get into the system, right? Yep. The development of Harold Matz and then the SG balls and all that kind of stuff. And then it's up to the coaches there. And you're hoping to God that they're like,
You've taught him left to right passes, right to left passes, three on twos, overs, unders, basic football.
Some guys just a simple drawn pass.
Yes. And you'd be surprised how many can't do that. And that I'm just age. Like, and I blame the coaches from 10 to 15, whoever's got those kids. And I always say it, when you see the big Polynesian kid who gets to 16, 17, and he doesn't know how to draw and pass, it's because the coach has gone, give the ball to the big Polynesian kid and let him fucking walk through the line instead of teaching the kid how to actually play the game.
Yep.
And that's on the coaches. And that's on them just trying to win games and win, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Teach the kids. It's so important. We're trying to empower these. And it's hard for coaches, right? But understand the game, mate. If you're going to teach these young kids, these are the future of the game. Super it's not about cool. you winning your fucking premiership.
Yeah.
Know
local,
what I mean?
local
league. You know what I mean? Like, make this. Mate, if you've got a good kid, teach him all the fundamentals. What you need to teach.
Yep.
You know, so it's good. It's.
He'll remember that when he gets older too.
Yeah. By the time they get to us, we expect you to draw and pass. We expect you to understand three on twos and all that kind of stuff. Defensive systems, a little bit of defensive systems, but like normal tackle tech. You know, some of these guys tackle tech for these big guys, they lose their legs a lot. They do all these little things. They just like,
a lot.
Yes. You know, it's just like, dude. I looked at some of these. This kid, he missed the tackle, right? And he just nearly dived at the ground. I said, stand up. Your wingspan is as big as mine. You cannot be going low. You got to stay up and on your toes. All these just couple little tips. He would have ran into you. You've got big fucking long arms on you. Grab him by the jersey. As long as you make the tackle, anything but what you did, which was get low and go on his legs.
Lose your
and
legs.
He just stepped over. Lose I was like, legs. Ah. Big but. Man. And that's invaluable for these young kids. You know, you got myself, you got Ogre, you got Roy Asatasi there, teaching middles little cues here and there, like what you got to look for.
That's the 04 premiership.
Yeah, and I love right teaching those young kids because they're sitting there like little young kids. Like, oh, my God, yeah. Oh, like it's just like there's always these moments of like, oh, shit. Yeah, I can do better. Or, like it's great work and like.
That must be super rewarding when you see it like a light bulb moment. And then they go out. And
then they start
the
yes,
weekend.
Yes. So they're starting to. I watch their SG ball movements. Their ball work movements. It was as sharp as I've ever seen a fucking team at SG ball level train.
Just
no drop balls, zinging these balls at Mitch Woods kid, that young kid.
Yeah.
The 9, the 7, the big boy. They got it. That's the team. That's the little group I'm looking at.
There's a nice crop
in two or three years. They're like just turning 18. Some of these young kids, and like when you got like that's why I look at these guys. Like, oh, I could actually turn this kid if he listens. These kids listen to me, Mark, me, Ogre, and Roy.
Yeah,
just about the middle play and everything like that. By the time 2-3 years, we chuck them up to zero.
Nice.
They'll be fucking made.
Nice.
If you listen, that's what I tell them. I say, you listen, we'll give you everything.
Yeah.
If you want to learn. And they're fucking so attentive. The eye contact, they're all about. I said, I love that shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm like, okay, I'll give you everything.
That's huge, eye contact.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I love little things like that. Yep. You know, they shake your hand and say, what's going on? How you going, Willie? You know, like, shit like that means so much to guys like Ogre, Roy, all the older sort of guys, right? Because you think some just walk straight past. Like, come on, dude. You're not him.
In their phone.
You're fucking 17, mate.
They're probably watching our show. That's the thing. So yeah, you can't knock some of them.
No, they love the show, mate.
Or they could be writing this YouTube question. It could be Mitch.
Sorry, no, I'll tell
Mitch
you once, sorry, one thing when I think I've like gone past the ex-footy player. It's a guy from Levels. Fucking shut your mouth, kid. He's a Bulldogs kid.
I'm fucking 04 great, not Levels.
Seriously, mate,
have a
look at the fucking walls, mate.
I wonder if this one's from Mitch Woods, mate. This one comes from Mitch1729. Question for Wednesday potty. Do you think they need to speed up the immortal process? So many good players who deserve recognition while they're living. Feels like there's a backlog needing to be inducted. So, mate, there are 13 immortals. Clive Churchill, Reg Gasnier, Johnny Raper, Graham Langlands, Bob Fulton, Wally Lewis, Arthur Beetson, the 8th, Daily Messenger, Dave Brown, Frank Burge, Norm Proven and Mel Meninga. Brown, Burge, Meninga, Messenger and Proven were all the last inducted in 2018. And that is as of 9th of February 2018.
To be honest, I think they've got it all the wrong way around.
Yeah, how do we?
Because you've got to have Hall of Famers, right, first. Yeah. And then like just say with the NFL, I'll give you the NFL. Hall of Fame is always inducted every year. They're putting, what, 10 in?
Yep.
Something like that?
I think 5. I think 4 to 5.
But they get nominated, all that sort of shit. There's about 10 or 15 nominees, whatever. They get 5 in and then like – so that's probably the highlight of their career, right?
Yes, it is.
The Hall of Fame.
So they break
and then
down
you get guys
get...
like – you see the guys like Deion Sanders.
They call it football heaven too.
Yes, I know. But like Deion Sanders goes, I think there should be something that's bigger than the Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Where you've got that elite shit. That's how we started, yeah, with the immortals.
Just straight to immortals.
So it's like, we can't just say players. I mean, I'm not going to be an immortal, but yeah, you might be a Hall of Famer.
Immortal sounds way better than Hall,
yeah,
of Fame.
Yeah, I'm saying, because yeah, so we can't, like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm a Hall of Famer. It's just like, well, you're not a fucking immortal. So we got it backwards.
Okay.
We got all these fucking immortals going around. I can't fucking, you know, you're not going to be out there with Andrew Johns or Mal Meninga and stuff like that. That's the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
But there's a shitload of Hall of Famers.
There's heaps of Hall of Famers.
That won't be an immortal.
So immortals, potential candidates. How far do we go back is my first question, considering they inducted –
all the guys from the 60s.
Yeah, you know, or a few of the older guys, and then probably the one closer to our age group is Mel, that people would probably be more aware of.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, like, did they consider his success as coach during the Origin period? Did that
could be
play into it as well? Because for those who aren't aware, in the Hall of Fame, you can be
a journo,
commentator, coach, all that sort of stuff that plays into it. Who's up next, mate?
Darren Lockyer is up next. Let's not skip past that, man. Mm. Let's not skip past him. I'm not even going to read out his stats, but they're just ridiculous. Like, it's something like 50 tests and 40 origins over 300 games. Was the best player in two positions for a generation, right?
Mm.
Best fullback and then best 5'8".
Yep.
Four premierships. I'm not sure how many fucking origins, like eight origins. I just know his sort of stats. You know what I mean? I play with the guy so much. He has to be next man up.
Yep. So you wouldn't go – look, so the elephant in the room is going all the way back to some guys that might not have been addressed in the 80s. So like the Parramatta teams that won three in a row, they're always names that are thrown up, like Sterling.
Yeah, Ray, but Price, they're obviously going to go past those guys, man.
So it'd have to be 90s and on.
That's why I said Mel, they stuffed it up, yeah, by going immortals first. It should have been just a Hall of Fame. Straight away.
Do you want to Lockie's stats?
Give me Lockie's stats.
355 appearances.
Jesus.
35 NRL finals games. 9 test series. So that's not even tests. 10 tests. Anzac tests. That's how many Anzac tests you were playing back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Every
36 state of origins. 14 Tri Nations.
50 tests.
Whereas it doesn't – oh, it's got them all sort of mixed up together. It doesn't really – oh, yeah, 59 tests, yeah, for Australia. There you go.
That's ridiculous. So what 59. Are you – that's crazy.
A win percentage of 83%. At Origin, he had 52%, which is grouse considering
he
got the back
era.
End of that, yeah, that really golden era. He won 66% of his games in NRL. For me, he's
clear-cut. The dude's an immortal.
Yeah, he's
an immortal. And he deserves it just because he's not – like he's – his character is very quiet and he's very reserved and everything like that. He's not in the limelight all the time. He's like
– a lot of the guys are like,
yeah,
that, right?
But like his numbers are immortal.
Yeah.
You know, like you put him up against anybody in that thing. Even if they've skimmed past guys like Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie.
Freddie fucking changed the game. Laurie Daly, Ricky Stewart, like those guys, Bradley Clyde, you know, that's what I'm saying. Those guys will never be immortals, but they're Hall of Fame players. Mm. Which should be like the pinnacle of everyone's goal, like it is in America. Like, get the Hall of Fame done, and if you want to go to that immortal status, then you get to that immortal status. But it's like, it's too late.
Yeah.
Is it too late?
I don't know. It's a question.
Or do you start putting guys in the Hall of Fame from the NRL era?
Not yet. I would like, for me, my two immortals, and this might be a bit biased because I grew up a Freddie fan, my two of the two you named, Freddie and Lockie.
Yes, if you're going to put more than one in, I thought we'd just go on one. Got to put Freddie and Lockie in.
Yeah.
Alan Langer.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm like, those guys are fucking freaks. They changed the game. Bradley Clyde changed the game.
Mm.
Ricky Stewart, Laurie Daly. Like, they dominated for 15 years. Mm. I'm not sure what else you have to do. Every era and every level, origin, test, club level, like they dominated the green machine. Freddie killed it through the 80s. Whole 90s was a joke for him. 2000s, you know, that career is ridiculous. The longevity, the dominance that Freddie was, and Lockie, all those guys, man. I'm like, do you all just throw him in the immortal status? No.
Well, I think you're right, and that's the problem. So I think there are a shitload of Hall of Famers that you just announced.
Fucking oath, there's Hall of Famers everywhere.
Let us know in the comments how you know, whether it be Lukey will probably end up clipping this up and posting it. Let us know who. Leave out, for me, I think there are two clear cuts from the modern era, NRL era, but I would leave them until the next induction, which would, for me, it's Cam Smith and I think JT are locks.
Bill? What about Bill?
And I think Bill's right on the cusp, and you could argue Bill, but I, you know, GI and all these sorts of guys. But I reckon address the guys just before the NRL that started well and truly before the NRL era started and then overflowed into the NRL era. Mm-hmm. And for me, they're Freddie and Lockie, I think.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I think them. We just forget about those guys, man.
And then maybe if you're going to – so there are four, maybe a couple of OGs that, you know, for guys that are –
the 80s era, you know, we're skipping past the 80s era. Like, you know, you look at Sterling, you look at Kenny, you look at like, God, there's so many. The Cliffy Manly Lions, and, you know, all those guys. That's what I'm saying. They are first ballot Hall of Fame credentials, right? And then, like, you have to be another level, which these which the Immortals are.
Yeah.
But I think, like, can we just fucking throw a shitload of people in the Hall of Fame first?
So, yeah. So,
can we do that? We don't induct anyone into Hall of Fames. Yeah. You never see anything.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point.
Like, the NRL don't throw anyone in the Hall of Fame.
Do you think it would take the pressure off the inductions for the Immortals?
Fucking oath it would.
If there would be more.
If you throw everybody, just say you threw 20, 30 people in the last 30 years, you go on a Hall of Fame, a couple of Hall of Fames from every year.
But then you're going to get people who are just below Hall of Fame. They're going to blow up.
Oh, I know.
they're not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, they might not be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to get a shitload of us that won't be in the Hall of Fame. We might have Hall of Fame numbers. You're not in it. Who cares? It's not a big deal. Yeah. It doesn't mean the world to us like America.
You'd be a Hall of Famer.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. Your Hall of Fame numbers, but it's just like, well, look, you know, but I'll never be an immortal.
Yeah.
But I have Hall of Fame numbers.
I think you're a clear-cut Hall of Famer.
Do you know what I'm saying? But like, but there's a difference, right? You're like, it doesn't really faze me at all. Yeah, I know where still, I stand in the game. But it'd be guys. Mad to fucking be recognised as
sure,
that.
For sure,
the guy like the Hindmarshes and all these guys that I played with. Petros, Webkeys, Beavers, Bedsy, all those, all Hall of Famers, clear cut first ballot.
One more name that I forgot that I think is Lazo an immortal?
No, there you go.
Hall of Famer?
Change the game.
Yeah.
Could be an immortal. Should be an immortal. Immortal numbers.
No, as like, do you think he's got immortal?
He's got immortal. Like, yes. Well, if you have a look at it, like the 80s, 90s, and 2000. Yeah. I think, retired in 99.
Yeah, Lazo's another one for me. That would be my say. Lazo and.
You know, guys like Chiefs. Chiefs should be Hall of Fame. Chiefs are Hall of Famer. Right?
The problem with the Parramatta team that I struggle with is very similar to Penrith, where there are so many stars in that team that. Equally, whereas deserve the recognition due to their success.
Buzz Rothfield will get in the Hall of Fame before me.
Where did Buzz come from?
No, because they put journos in there.
No, they don't.
Yes, they put journos in there.
In the NFL.
No, here. They put journos in.
No way.
100%. Who's the guy that passed away for St. George or someone like that, or on the weekend they had a minute's silence for because he was a journo?
Okay, so he wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah. If they induct you and Buzz in the same Hall of Fame, what are you doing? Are you?
I'll be
up?
Happy. and Dean Ritchie. If I'm not in that fucking class, I'm going to blow up.
Yeah.
NRL. Man. If I get put in the Hall of Fame, I want to be inducted with Buzz and fucking. Dean Ritchie.
Yeah. And if this podcast goes well, I want to be inducted in 10 years' time with Carianas. All right, mate. Let's go to this question. I see you guys locked in with Blink. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. All right. This one's from Tarmody Young. Hey, lads. L1, bit of an insight question. I see the lads having good yarns post-game on the field. For you guys, what's the mindset pre-game if you see your mates on the pitch?
Cool.
Do you dap them up? Or were you guys locked in, focused with blinkers on? Obviously, people were different, but keen to hear your perspectives. Does it change at the international or origin levels?
Oh, at club level, you weren't allowed to talk to the opposition.
You wouldn't even see each other.
Nowhere near it. No, you see each other.
No, at origin and international.
Oh, origin. No. You can see. You, if you're sitting outside, you'll see some boys over the other side, and like you can see them. Club level, nowhere near it. It was a rule with the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Because you go fucking talk to them, you'll get fined or something. There's repercussions, all right?
It's different now, though.
Different now. Totally different. Different generation. It's all about that sort of stuff. They tend to know each other because of social media. It connects everybody to that. Even, I follow him. And it's like, yeah, fuck that. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we just didn't have it.
We just didn't have it. So you had to have that element of fucking hate, right? I used to play against the Roosters, best mates with Minnie. Me and Minnie and fucking Fitzy, we've been on especially after you go on a kangaroo tour, right? It's your blood brothers forever, man. Like, it's just, that's a bond that you'll never break. And then you got to play against the blokes. And you know, like they have this exact same attitude because Ricky Shields, their coach.
Everyone was the same.
Ricky's like, you fucking don't talk to your mates, don't talk to him. And I'm like, I'm not talking to you fuckers anyway because I've got the same rules.
Yeah.
Talk to anyone.
You talk shit on the field.
On the field, bro, straight away. Me, Croc, and that used to go out at Fitzy's fucking nonstop.
Yeah.
Some of the shit that got said, some of the funniest stuff in the world, but like got real personal, man. Yeah, yeah. Got real personal.
Mike said, you can't say that shit.
Nah, man. Yeah. It was crazy. And it was just like, oh, I'd be like, oh, it's a good one, Croc. You know? Because we used to hang out in the same circles. Yeah. Same circles. We'd be out like Sapphire and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, say some stuff about people's fucking girlfriends and, bruh, real personal shit. That like, so it's fight material.
Yeah, I had some doozies.
Croc and Braith used to go at it, bruh, all the time. Mm. Far out. I've never seen fucking so much abuse between two people.
Nah, because it's hard. So Lukey just asked us to tell a story. You couldn't give details. So like, obviously, the most personal stuff is family and in particular partners.
Or girlfriend and partners, right? And
So
you know,
use your imagination.
There's no secret. Braith's a fucking good looking cat. He's been out, you know, he's, you know, and then like people find out shit and then fucking they'll say it. Even if it's bullshit, you'd say it just to try and put, you know, it would be a rumor. It wouldn't even be true.
Yep.
And then bang, it would be straight at him.
Yep.
And then Braith's a fiery dude, man. He stands on his 10 toes, man. He'll go straight back into you and fucking throw some personal shade at you. I loved it. Mm. And then obviously we have to back Braith up.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Croc. Yeah. And Croc, then we'll go out and get on the piss after. But we'll try and kill each other on the field, man. Mm. And then after the game, shake hands, what's going, where are we going?
Just quickly on that, I always felt like, and it's, remember that we've told a story, I've told a story on here before about Kitey saying don't speak to Mace.
Man.
You, that was different. You would... that was a part of you trying to throw players off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you would talk to players on the field, you were trying to get a
little bit like, even my last game with Big Nasty, right?
Yeah.
So I think it was Big Nasty's first game.
Yeah.
And he's 6'6" Anzac and he's big. I'm 35. Yeah. I don't want to wrestle that bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think they kicked it out and I went, hey, big boy. And he goes, oh, fuck, mate, how you going? And I said, don't be picking on the old fellas, eh? I said, oi, start hitting some of these young cats. You get no respect if you hit a 35-year-old. And then he goes, yeah, no worries, Docs. Yeah, he just sort of tap me on the ass and just goes. And then he never beeline for me. And I'm like, thank God, because I didn't want to tussle with that dude.
That's a vet's move.
Yeah, it's a business move.
Yeah.
It's a business move. And he kept going. And then even the whole game was like, thank God. He'd beeline and just elbow everybody. And that was Big Nas and he's fucking raucous. So I was like, thank you.
Yeah, that's
but yeah, stuff. Most of the talk with me, I used to talk shit. It was just fun stuff.
Yeah,
it'd be never personal. It would never be personal with someone like that. Never ever. It'd be more joking around or just trying to throw them off their game and like, what's going on, Kitey? You good? And he'd be like,
well, back in the day, yeah, you could say something even if it was personal, but then see each other after the game. And even if you didn't know each other like that, you know, it was nothing worse because we didn't have that connection.
Yeah,
through social media that they
had just rumors.
You would hate the opposition. Then they'll come to your team and the best compliment you can get is he's one of us.
He's one of us. Oh, but that's all he can say is like, what's he fucking like?
What's he like?
You know, like, what's he like? And he goes, he's one of us. I'm like, God damn it, I knew it because like you just sort of sense it and you just go at it. Even before I met Croc,
yeah.
I said, what's that fucking Croc like? He goes, he's one of us, mate. So I went, fucking hell. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, you see that's the best rap you can get. He's one of us. He's one of us. It's like, now you can't hate him because you go at a guy's fucking throat for the whole 80 minutes and then he's just like, he's just talking shit nonstop if you don't know him at all, right? If I knew you, I wasn't going to do that. It'd be more fun shit.
Mm.
But if I just keep going at you, just, you know, be fucking with your head. And then, and then you go, fuck, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it the next game. You know what I mean? I wouldn't go as hard.
Yeah. If you have a scandal, just go pick someone
else. I'll pick someone else.
Yeah. New target. This one is just based on some of the chat that we have and we'll be better explaining this moving forward. So this one's from Cartier. Love the content. Could you guys do a video where you explain in depth the inside of the three-man, outside, the four-man, etc.? It's so interesting hearing you guys break plays down, but I can't visualize what you're saying. I'm guessing one is wing, two is center, three is second row. No. Three is the half. Four is the back row.
Yep.
Sorry, guys, that we don't explain that properly. It's, I guess we, for whatever reason, we always say three and four man in like NRL video, but we never say one and two for winger, do we?
No, you never do.
It's weird.
No one ever does.
Yeah.
No one. So
three man is half.
Yeah.
Four man is back row. So whenever we're talking, and we'll probably have to be better at saying, no longer saying that.
Yeah.
So we're saying the shape is inside.
We'll just understand it to them. Just say, like, we've got the four. A middle guys. All middle guys would be the two front rows, the lock and the hooker.
Yep.
They're your middles, right? So your back row, so you've got the four guys there and then your back row is the – so it starts again. Line. So you've got middle four, right four, left four.
That's the best
That's way. The way to put it. So when we say right four, he's on the right side, outside –
four the last in from the prop.
Four in from the sideline,
yep.
Three in from the sideline.
Yep.
So when we're saying back rows are running at the four man and inside the three man shoulders, it's outside the four man and inside the halfback shoulders. That's it.
Can you understand why it's confusing that we don't say two man and one man?
100%. Two and one, don't worry about them. It's the center and the winger. But most of the traffic are coming through the four and the three man. But all the middles.
A lot of the shapes on the four and three, which is the half and the back row.
When Ponga's trying to get around the three man, he's trying to get around the 5'8" or the half on whatever side it is. Yep. That's it.
This one's from Solo Man. Hey there, boys. I love the potty. Been listening since day one. Similar to this. I love when you and Uncle Willie break down the play, talking about markers and all that. Just wondering, are you guys able to put it up on the screen? No, there are rules, copyright issues with the broadcasters that don't allow us to use that content.
Could we use a whiteboard or something?
I guess so. We'd have to be creative. And we'd have to be prepared.
I mean, we could prepare it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're just breaking down certain few plays, there's a lot of stuff in video, right? They're breaking stuff down on whiteboards.
Yeah, okay. We'll have a crack at it one time. If there's a specific play, like, you know, when you message me about the Havili play?
Yeah.
That's something I think we could do on a whiteboard easily.
Easily. And the plays, like the Penrith play, the block for block for block, they call it trips, right?
Yep.
It's just three blocks in a row, but it's the diversion and it's how much they just nail it, right? Yeah.
And then you
could it'd be pretty easy.
You could even just scribble out and talk about width.
A lot of coaches used to do video like that.
All right, mate, just the one topic before we get into the team list and the changes. And speaking of changes, Zach Lomax will be changing clubs next year. So the Dragons.
Oh, not this year.
The Dragons and Zach Lomax have negotiated an exit. He had two more seasons remaining at the Dragons after this season. That's now done. So he'll finish out the year unless the Dragons can get compensation or, I guess, the full payment of the rest of the contract. I think the Dragons want something in return.
Of course.
Disgruntled Dragon star Zach Lomax will depart the club at the end of the season after being granted an early release from his contract, believed to be worth up to $800,000 a year. The Dragons on Tuesday released a statement confirming the club had reached the agreement with Lomax. The outside back's contracted years were 2025 and 2026, so it's terminated. And he was onto it straight away. First reported that Parramatta got the first meeting, and apparently that happened yesterday. So I'm not too sure what the latest update is. But so let's start off with who are your favourites? I know obviously Eels would be favourites. Take Eels out of it.
What?
Where do you think Zach Lomax is?
Right? Yep. Pennicini, he wants to play right centre, right? Well, I'm pretty sure he wants to play right centre.
He's played right centre.
Yes. Pennicini is a gun.
Mm.
Like I don't see him moving Pennicini unless Pennicini can play as good on the left side. But I'm pretty sure he's done it. He's got a right foot, right arm carry, left palm, all that sort of stuff. Like he's.
Yep.
So I don't think he. Yeah. And does he move? Does he do that? Does he risk it all? Like to go somewhere else? And I'm just like might be a little bit deeper than just wing.
Do you think he's so? Do you think Zach's mindset would be not only do I not want to play wing, but I specifically want to play right centre?
Yes,
that could get in the way.
And I just want to get out of the club.
Hmm.
I reckon. I think it's a bit deeper than this. Like because I think he's playing outstanding on the wing. His name's been thrown up for Origin.
Yeah.
So what happens if he gets picked in Origin this year?
Hmm.
And then do you go to another club? Another club's going to look at you as what? A winger.
Mm.
He's a better winger than he is a centre. He played centre for 3 or 4 years. He had a good games here and there and he was inconsistent. He'd flick the ball out his ass, all this sort of shit, defensive mistakes. Like, I'm like, okay, well, he looks like a better winger. He defends like an animal. He hasn't had that many decisions to make and he runs the ball hard. He's got offloads. He's good under the high ball. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying.
No, they're all good points.
I'm just like, well, if I'm going to – am I going to pay this guy $800,000?
I don't think he's going to get $800,000. I think
that's what I'm saying. It must be deeper than
he just wants out.
He just wants out, man.
He's had
sick
enough
of
the Dragons.
He's had enough of the system. Yeah. He's had enough – I'm not sure if it's the coaching thing. It might be deeper than that. Could be the board. I know because it's a very dodgy club, that.
Yeah, well, he's wanted out for a while now.
Yeah, regardless of Flano.
And I think Flano put a Band-Aid over it for a bit.
Yeah.
But then obviously moving him to wing didn't help as well.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at it from the Dragons' perspective, you're clearing up $800,000 for a player that you're playing on the wing. And I know wingers are important these days, and we talked about that as
not $800,000 worth.
Yeah, $800,000 is way
for another 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a business decision by
both
the Dragons and himself. Because if he's got to back himself now, so he's got out of his contract, right? Yeah. So worst case scenario, he gets injured, right? Then what happens? Like he's risking a lot, Zach. He's risking a lot to get out of the club. That's what I mean. It must be deeper than him playing wing.
Well, what's his value right now? If you're willing to bring Zach, then you've got to think you're looking at it from the Parramatta's point of view. You feel like you're one out. You've been saying this for now it's been reported now for 12 months. You feel like you're one outside back X factor player away from being a serious contender. You've got everything else in place. Yeah. What's your number?
650? I think that's around right. that. And I'll play, and I'm thinking he's going to play left center. Mm. They're just going to have to figure it out. They just want him on the books because he can play wing and he can play center. That's what they know now. They know now that he's not just the one trick pony. He can play wing and he can play center. And he can play fullback if he wants.
Yep.
If anything happens to Gutho.
Yep.
So I'm thinking they just want him on the books and whatever happens, him and Pennacini, they'll just have to trial it out for whatever position and best man wins. Iron sharpens iron, which would be good.
I think
Pennacini can go. I think he can play on one side. Zach Lomax has played on the left before, so it's not like it's a strange territory for him. He just prefers the right because he's got a right flick.
So I seen a post the other day, and it was – I forget where it was. It was the five predicted places. It was Eels. Bulldogs are in there. I don't think they're a contender because they've got too many outside backs. Titans were in it. There was a couple more. And
Titans.
When I was looking at it, my favourite, or I would say the team with the most upside for Zach who clearly needs that position would be the Tigers.
I was about to fucking say Tigers.
Tigers. But does he want to go to another team that is potentially on the rebuild?
That's up to him.
Yeah.
And
Jazzy Olam on the left.
Do they have
– Zach Lomax on the right.
That
They've
makes
got that
sense,
young Fartape
mate.
Kid at the moment. He's been all right. He's been solid. Tupou's going to the Dolphins next year. They've got Jerome. They've got Galvin. They've got Buller. Tigers
makes
for
sense.
Me.
Do they have money?
I guarantee that.
I'm pretty sure they've got money. So he might get that 800. I think that makes sense. More sense in Parramatta.
And then and throw in another factor, one last little factor with the Tigers. What's his favourite play?
The little flick. Benji's the OG. That's the one that's going to tip him over.
Benji,
hey, kid, I'll teach you how to flick it properly.
Benji will give him the license. So
I'll tell you how to flick it properly, mate. I'll show you how to do it.
No one does a flick pass better than Benji.
I think Benji could bring out that in him a lot more, just give him more free reign. And he's at the stage now. He's not even in his peak.
Yeah.
He's not in his peak.
He's still got so much potential.
Still got a heap to go. And this is going to be up to coaching as well and the system that he's going to fit in the best. And I think when you said that, because I was thinking, I was going to say it before you said it, because I was thinking, the Tigers, because they don't have a right side centre.
Look what's happened to Jazzy Olam. Looks like a completely new play down there. He's got that confidence back. He's the dude. He lost all of that at the Melbourne Storm. You know, it's a position of need.
That makes sense.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
They've got money. They've got a centre of excellence out there. You can live at around
Concord,
the Balmain,
around the city,
fucking
Five
Dock, all those beautiful places.
Yep.
Get out of your comfort zone, man.
Yeah.
I think he's just over the whole St. George system.
Yep.
Get out.
All right, we'll see where he ends up. Let's get into the games though, mate. Breaking down the games. Before we get into that, I just want to let everyone know what our Levels Bets Friends special is for this week. And we're kicking it off with the first game, Melbourne at home to Brisbane, and a couple of big names are back for the Melbourne Storm in the halves. So I have gone, I think this is going to be a close encounter. So I've gone either team, Mace, 1-12.
Yep.
So I've got a 24-point swing. I'm really happy with that. I think it's going to be a close game. It could come down to a field goal, late penalty, something like that. And I've got Nick Meaney to score in the first 60 minutes. The traders have given us a price of $9 with a max bet of $25. And I feel like at the start of the year, that's my best of the year. So good luck to anyone who jumps on. That is on our Levels Bets Friends channel that we will be adding right now after the show. It's just got back to us. So let's get to the game, mate. Kicking off with that game. Melbourne Storm versus Broncos at Amy Park. The Storm have welcomed back three big names. Cam Munster, Jerome Hughes, and Christian Welsh is also on the bench. Therefore, Tyrone Wishart reverts to the bench. Jonah Pezzett completely drops out. As for the Broncos, your boy's in. Benjamin Tukuta, who stands at a ridiculous 205 centimetres, makes his debut. He replaces Xavier Willison. So I think Xavier Willison got injured.
Okay.
I don't know the exact reason why.
He was all right last week.
There's no way. If he's got dropped, I want to be his manager and get him out of that club because he's such a good player. I'll give you the odds, mate. Let's get to the odds. So
Melbourne's favourite.
Melbourne a favourite, yeah, but with the line. So Melbourne $1.48 head to head with the tab, 265 underdogs, the Broncos, and the line is 6.5, so just over a try. Who do you like in this game, and do you, and can you lean either way on the line as well?
Oh God, I like Melbourne's because it's down there. I still like Brisbane because of what they did last week, but I just think Cowboys aren't that team.
Melbourne aren't that team. Melbourne, oh, sorry, Cowboys.
Melbourne are that team, yeah, right? You get Munster back, you get Jerome Hughes back, you got.
They're not going to complete at 60%.
No, no, I'm going Melbourne easily. Oh, not easily, but like just they'll really like they'll miss Payne Haas and Reece Walsh this week. They didn't miss him last week, but they will miss him this week. You're coming up with a whole different dog, mate.
A Melbourne Storm team is not going to slip up and try to force the issue like the Cowboys did. Are
high they? Completion rates, all that kind of stuff. Go through your forwards.
They'll try to win the game in the 79th minute, not in the first
got that
minute.
Class of Pappenhausen. Munster's back. They love him. He's their captain without being their captain.
Yep. All right, I'm with you, mate. I'm on the Melbourne Storm. Just like you sounded confident to begin with, but you're probably not all that confident.
Not, because what I saw last week, I thought the Cowboys are going to blow them off.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. So I'm going to go Storm -6.5, reluctantly. And I'm going Nick Meaney, my anytime try scorer for this week. I think it's going to be a game where it's based off what Reynolds did last week.
Is he up against Stags?
No, he is on the left against Cobbo.
Harder, man. That's... Yeah. What sort of try you reckon he's going to get? He ain't going to be
a kick, a tap down. Maybe Warbrick gets back, knocks one back, or across the ground. Yeah. I think the kicking games for both teams are going to be crucial, and there are going to be a lot of points on kicks because both teams are really sound defensively.
What I saw last week was very underrated play from Galvin, right? When he went down that short side and that little beautiful kick brought everybody up and then popped it in for it's nearly unbeatable to defend.
Yeah, if you execute that.
Yeah, if you execute it perfectly, because the fullback's not all the way back, he's still covering, you know what I mean? Like, you have to be so fucking quick and be in position. And Gutho's one of the best at that. So if you're going to beat Gutho, you can beat most teams. Yeah, I think a lot of teams would be looking at that going, it's not a bad play. That's not a bad play.
Yeah, especially if you're doing it on the fourth tackle too. Yeah. If you can bring him up a little bit earlier and roll it back in.
And you get a position where the wingers can't drop back. They have to be up because if they're back, bang, lightning straight to the wing.
Whip it out the back.
Yeah.
So we're the same on -6.5 as well. I think it's going to be a good game. Looking forward to that game. Actually, you know what, mate? All the games are just so – this competition is so close that even the Cowboys-Titans game a little bit later on, it's like I can't trust the Cowboys with that sort of start as well. So that's super intriguing. The 2004 Grand Final rematch, Canterbury Bulldogs are at home to the Sydney Roosters at Accor Stadium. Mace will be there after 1,000 schooners at lunchtime. Blake Wilson returns, obviously, for Josh Adokar, who's out with that hit at halftime in the Rabbitohs game. Obviously, Jacob Preston is out, and Curtis Moran is also sidelined, which sees Harrison Edwards come in.
Harry, good kid.
Katoga joins the bench. Josh Curran slots from the bench into the starting back row, so Katoga will come onto the bench. As for the Roosters, Terrell May has shifted back to the bench because Lindsay Collins is back. Angus Crichton has been promoted to the starting lineup. So Tuli Tupanua will start from the bench. Egan Butcher has been dropped out of the 17 and into the reserve. So, they've got some death at the moment. It's obviously a tough one for you.
Chopping and changing, but like with all the back rolls, like Tupanua's been pretty good. And then you just, I mean, Angus is, you know, if he gets to his best, he's that guy. But like, I think he probably needed a few more minutes.
Well, I'm hoping Angus is at his best because I've got him as my anytime try scorer at $3.75 at the Roosters.
If he's on that left edge, he's...
Yeah, that's Hutchinson's edge. Yeah. That is Karaz's edge.
Be a fair bit of ball gone that way.
And the criticism around the Roosters at the moment is on Luke Keary. You know, whether Luke Keary's the guy. Angus Crichton's missed a whole lot of footy. I'm feeling that edge is going to be fired up.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that
Keary's
edge.
He's back, you know what I mean? Like, he just needs to just find a bit of confidence with the Roosters, you know? Like, I thought they were going to find it a couple of weeks ago when they dusted South up. But was that a good Roosters team or a really bad South team?
It's hard. The form lines are very hard to pick.
Yeah, I can't pick it,
week in, week out, right?
Cannot pick it. I'm obviously going to go to the Bulldogs, but it's going to be fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
Even though, the emotion of everything like that, just say representing the 2014, that doesn't mean shit when they run out there. They fucking forget about all that sort of stuff.
Before the game, it means a lot.
But then when you get out there, you've got to fucking deal with it yourself.
Correct.
You know, I played in games like that where it's like, oh, yeah, we're celebrating the fucking 95 team or whatever. It's like, yeah, well, We're the ones who have to get out there. We're the ones who have to get out there and do it. If you can't fucking bring on that team, it's like fucking hell.
Terry Lamb can't play six.
Terry Lamb cannot play six for us. We've got Braith and Astor. We're sweet.
You guys are right. All right, mate. Yeah, I'm going to go the Roosters the opposite way. I'm not confident. It's another game. It's very hard to pick, so I'm not confident on the minus ten and a half as well.
The Preston Campbell. I mean, Preston Campbell. Jacob Preston.
Jacob Preston, yeah.
Losing him. You know what I mean? Like, that's Morin. Those two of our best players, man. Kurt Morin was on fire.
Yeah.
He was working so hard. He's been outstanding off the bench. You know, so it just sucks with the depth.
Would his uncle Brad Morin be?
Yeah, B-Moz would be there.
That would be disappointing for
him. Yeah, it would suck.
Yeah. So he got suspended for that Cam Murray backflip sort of over
the top. Yeah, that could have been dangerous.
Yep. All right, mate. The second game, 8 p.m., very intriguing game. A couple of big ins. Newcastle Knights versus St. George Illawarra Dragons at McDonald Jones Stadium, 8 p.m. Jackson Hastings returns to the lineup. Therefore, Tyson Gamble has been demoted all the way to the reserves. Gags is back.
Reserve grade or reserves?
Reserves. So, yeah, he'll play reserve grade. Okay, he's like number 22, number 21.
Proper dropped.
I thought he might have got a spot on the bench, but also Phoenix Crossland has been dropped back to the bench as well.
Jaden
Bradley is starting at hooker. Leo Thompson is also back. Just the one change from the 17 who upset Manly. Michael Molo replaces Hame Saleh on the bench.
Right.
So I hope Hame Saleh is not injured again because he only just got back and he's had some issues in the past.
It's been a hard game, man.
The line is $1.42 favorites, the Knights, $2.90 about the Dragons, and plus 7.5. So just a little bit more than a try is the line in this game.
I think St. George will win. I just think they've got those dogs, man. I think they're finding their identity and it's going to be scary.
Yeah.
I know it's always a hard game. It's hard to beat Newcastle up there, but like I don't think St. George is fearing that forward pack. And they're not fearing the half play. You're fearing Kalen Ponga. Right. That's what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like they're going to put pressure on Hastings as a unit, make him try and get near the line. Hastings is going to have a lot of pressure under him, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He's going to have to go to the line. He's going to have to dig in.
Not even physical
pressure.
You can't
rely on fucking,
physical pressure, like the external pressure.
Yeah, man. You know, so they just need to get the balance right. They just haven't found it yet. Does this work? Does Hastings and Cogger work? You know, does Gamble work off the bench? Is he better than Phoenix Crossland? You got to figure it out.
I've seen some of the highlights from the New South Wales Cup last couple of weeks. So I've seen enough in the trials. I'd be given if this doesn't work in the next couple of weeks. Will Price?
Yeah, man.
He's got
X factor.
He looks like he would take pressure off in just big moments and provide something that would take pressure off Carlton.
So it could be Cogger and Will Price. That could be it because if you want a decent set, or Hastings and Price, or someone like if Cogger's not working, he could be off the bench. Maybe it just doesn't work. Just because it worked at Penrith in the best system of all time, and you just fit it in and just did your job and you won the grand final, well done. But it doesn't mean that you go to another team and you're that dude.
Brad Slider looked like the best half in round
Schneider
four.
On a signing for fucking 10-year deal. Get him on the books, Bulldogs. You know what I mean? And then you get him and you're like, fuck, yeah, I get it, mate. You're in the best system in the fucking whole competition for the last, you know, 6-7 years. Yep. Plug in place. You know what I mean? It's just like that's what it is. So, yeah, they need to find what's going on quickly before the season slips away. They can't afford to go, we just go on a 10-game run.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, bro. It doesn't happen. So Hastings, big responsibility. He needs to step up. That team's on his shoulders, man. You know, you can't rely on KP. He's fucking getting pumped. They just go at him all the time. It's just like kick it to him. They'll stack the other side where he's there. They want you to try and go down that side, right? They'll leave you there, Hastings, on a long 4, 6, 4. And they could have like 5 or 6 attackers. They'll fucking still leave 4 defenders there. Drop their markers back, get up, slide out.
But that's the side
out.
He likes coming as well. So
I know, but I'm just saying how disrespectful it is. Whatever side he's on, they don't put another number there.
Yeah.
Where if you see fucking...
Oh, I wonder... Well, actually, I'm just thinking out loud now. Cogger's been playing left because he took over from Hastings. It'll be interesting to see which side they line up on, whether it's...
Because Hastings is always left free.
Yeah. But because Cogger's now playing there. Yeah. So does Hastings come and take that right 4 spot?
Fucking harder position, right 3.
Yeah, that's
where all the traffic goes.
That'll be a keen watch nice
so,
and early.
So who's Sewer's the back row there?
Sewer's on the right and Luciano's on the left.
That's a – look at the size of those blokes. Sorry, you got Luch, Suli, Ravalawa. Who's your 5'8"? Just give me the ball. You got Ben Hunt. Ben Hunt really attacks that side mostly. Then you got Sloan around the back. That's fuck you. Oof. Regardless, if you do up, if you're making your tackles, you're gonna feel it. You're gonna feel it. That's what I mean. Big boys like Luch and that, he might not be making line breaks after line breaks. He's gonna get fitter and fitter, but you'll feel that pressure.
This is gonna be a
your
physical
shoulders
game.
Will be sore.
This is gonna be a physical
fuck
game.
Fuck yeah,
they're gonna go after each other.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot of nervous energy.
And I think St. George are more physical than most sides.
Yeah, because the first 4 weeks. Yes, they have been.
They're a top three most physical side in the comp. I reckon they can match it like that. If they can execute the little things and get Sloan into the game, or he's got that X factor, and then you've got Bird, Lomax on that edge.
Would you agree with this? At their ceiling, Dragons have been more physical, but their floor has been awful at times.
Terrible.
Whereas Knights are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So where how that all plays out.
I'm not that disappointed in what the Knights did last week.
Neither am I.
They I'm like, did that deserve to change too? You know, two players out of the whole site. Yeah. You went up against a fucking Warriors team that were ready.
Yeah.
That was drums were fucking battling. Now, they nearly got back. If Tuivasa doesn't make that fucking great defensive play, which is underrated when they're going down the side, it's 18-all.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that was a massive play. That's just instinct. Like, he was backing up and then came, and then he hit it down. That would have been a try.
Yeah.
Right. If he didn't have the wits about him and like the awareness to know that he was going to pass at that perfect time, most fullbacks would have been sucked in.
Yeah.
Not him. Bang, hits it down, changes the whole game.
It's a big week for the Dragons. It's a big week for Zach Lomax. So I'm going to go Zach Lomax to send a statement to whatever team that could be potentially picking him up. We've got ourselves a try scorer at $2.60.
He's a chance to leave this year if they go, okay, you can have.
If they get a player.
Boom, and then, okay. If
they get a player or two in return, I think the Dragons would be open to it. But
you've also got
to agree to it if you're the player as well. So. That's a process in itself.
And if you're a team, like, you're only going to get players that are in reserve grade.
Correct.
Or in the 20, from like 18 to 22.
Yeah. There's not many.
You're not giving starters out.
There's not many Zach Lomax type players. That's why Manly stood out. Like, despite the way you view Josh Schuster now because of what's happened over the last, 12 months, at his peak, a lot of people can still look and go, there's a play there. It's the fitness thing. You know what I mean? So that's the one that made the most sense.
I have no doubt with that kid. That his ceiling is massive. Mm. He needs to really, really discipline himself and make footy number one and be the best that he can be. If the best Schuster turns up every week, he's fucking class personified.
Yep.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
It's not about that, but.
Consistency.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Souths versus Warriors. We talked about the Warriors really impressive in that game against the Knights. This is the first game of Super Saturday at 3 p.m. at a Core Stadium again. Alex Johnson has been ruled out with a hamstring injury. Therefore, Isaac Thompson goes onto the wing to replace him. Shaq Mitchell is also unavailable, which has opened the door for Sean Kempe to return, who played in New South Wales Cup last week. Massive return here. Chance Nickel-Klokstad is back from that hamstring injury,
nice,
which pushes Rog back to the centres. Tamati Martin will replace Luke Metcalf, who has unfortunately broken his tibia.
Damn.
So that's confirmed. Kurt Capewell was also ruled out, with Murata near quarter moving to the starting lineup.
Not bad.
How good is the depth of the Warriors at the moment?
What about the other kid who come played 5-8 for him? Why isn't he in the team?
Chanel still on the bench. Yeah, he's their 14.
Fucking starting him.
Yeah, they could do. But
his defense is mad.
I think they like him as the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah,
so
he's
can
a
play
gun,
lock,
man.
Hooker.
I rate him.
He can give Egan a spell for 10 minutes, but then also cover anywhere across the back line and at lock. I think that's the thought process. Okay. And Tamati Martin was really good.
Yeah, he's good. I'm just saying. Yeah. I just didn't know that. I thought he was injured or something.
They've got good depth, mate.
Fucking hell.
They've got some really good depth. Where are you going on this game? I've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs underdogs at home. $2.05.
Warriors.
Favourites, $1.77. And the line is -1.5. So it's basically a coin flip, but you're on Warriors.
Warriors all day. Mm. Their back five is just ridiculous. They'll get them out of yardage easily. Then they'll get down there. You've got your Fanua Blakes. And South's middle is going to get pressured.
Mm.
A lot of pressure. Fanua Blake, Nia Cora, he's a great replacement. Jackson Ford's been playing really well.
Yep.
Tohu Harris does Tohu Harris.
I feel like you're going
shit.
One. I feel like
I'm going all in Warriors.
Yeah, this is your one.
Maybe 13 plus.
Yeah, there it is. I was waiting for it.
You've got to wait.
Now I know when it's coming. I can see it.
I know. Like Wade Egan looks like he's back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Mitchie Barnett was good. Fanua Blake probably.
Tohu Harris.
Fanua Blake didn't have his best game last week. And
didn't
he still
to.
Runs 200 on you.
Didn't have to.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's when you know you got a good side, when your big dog don't have to, you know, do 280 meters every game.
Mm.
Mitchie Barnett can run 150. Tohu can run 150. Wade Egan made clean line breaks, bro.
He's so good, man. I was expecting – this is 2 weeks in a row now where I've looked at South. I was like, there's no way they play a Roosters team and with the pride that's on the line and not perform.
Yeah.
And then last week against you guys, calling that game live, I just didn't see enough from him. I'm on Warriors minus
you
one and a half.
You know who did play well last week? Cookie.
Cookie, yep.
Although he played a similar couple of really good runs, man.
Yeah,
changed the game.
Cookie,
changed the game.
Cookie, Cam Murray, and Keon Kolomontangi were really
good.
They were
good, man.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors are just, they're that team, man. They're a top four team.
Yeah.
And that games like this, to be driven into them. Got to win this game. Souths aren't at their best. That's why I'm sort of doubting, like, that they can be anywhere near the Warriors.
We need to see it first from Souths.
94% completion rate against the Bulldogs. You beat them by six.
Yep.
Come on, bro.
It's going to be that sort of game.
No disrespect for the Bulldogs, but if you have that much ball and you have that many completion rates.
Warriors do a good job of completing at that percentage, but also still playing a little bit more footy as well.
Yeah, you got Sean Johnson in that team, man. Mm. Plays footy. Tamari Martin's good. Jeez, I like the balance, man. It's all about balance.
Warriors minus one and a half for me. RTS, anytime try score of $3.
Yeah, nice.
I like that play. All right, mate. The second game is, and shout out to my mate, he goes officially past Cliffy Lyons as the most capped Manly Seagull player. Manly Seagulls at home to the Penrith Panthers, Four Pines Park. Despite a disappointing loss, no changes. They're going to stick with that same 17 that had, across the board, I think every single player played their worst game of their career. And I think the beauty when I started looking at this game as well, and I'm starting to see some money for the – there's money on Manly plus 2.5 in this game, and I can understand why. I think Manly, similar to – you know, the scrappiness that the Dragons played with, but they couldn't have played any worse. They only lost that game by six or eight. So I'm a Manly one more chance again in this game.
All right.
And,
I'm not going to back Manly, but I'm going to give them one more chance to be competitive. I was just like, I was off them that bad, but I'm thinking every team has a game like that. And I'm like, you don't even, if you're Siebes, you're not even looking at that video. Throw it in the fucking bin and just get along with next week. We're way better than that. Turbo's better than that. DC's better than that. Jakey's better than that. All our key players, fucking come on, let's go.
When I looked at the preview of this game, and I think you might agree with me on this. Do you think it was the Penrith Panthers effect that they were next week? They were going down. They wanted an easy game out of St. George. They didn't want to roll their sleeves up. A lot of teams do this against star teams when they go, they look at the schedule, they know they've got Penrith coming
up. Even though you hear cliches like just 1 week at a time.
Yeah, one week at a time. That should, you know.
Maybe we're like, looking at 2 weeks at a time. Yeah. Penrith next week.
Penrith next week. They also
Surely not.
They get Fish back as well, mate. Huge in. Shit. Lindsay Smith moves back to the bench. Their favourites.
Who moves off the bench for Lindsay?
Maybe Eisenhuth.
No.
Maybe Eisenhuth.
He's been a mainstay.
Yeah, maybe Eisenhuth. So they're going to keep Liam Henry, definitely. We'll have to – I'll look at that in a bit. But the odds are right now. So $2.20 underdogs at home, Manly. $1.67 favourites of Penrith. So which way are you going, mate?
I'm going Penrith. Not by a lot. Like maybe like fucking six points or something. Like, yeah, maybe a try. Nothing. They won't be flogging them because
do you remember
too much pride. This is a lot of big game for Manly.
Yeah.
People are like in my position, right? They're like, fuck, they're done. Not done, but they're not as dominant as I thought they were. They went straight off the like a different script compared to what they did to Para.
Yeah.
Shift for shift, these beautiful long shifts from the side. I never saw anything like that.
Yeah.
I was like, what sort of team turned up?
They were very simplistic errors.
Yeah, the errors must have just really got into them. Like, especially when, you know, we spoke on the group text, like when you got your big dogs making mistakes, like everyone goes into their shell. But when the flip side is, when you see the turbos and the DCEs and kicking 40-20s and doing all this sort of stuff and doing that stuff that he was doing at the start, the offload, they fucking start growing another leg, these guys.
Yeah. Those passes
You can't expect the young kids to grab it by the horns yet. It's another couple of years for the Olakuatus and, you know what I mean, those guys to stand up. You're expecting more from Brooksy. Brooksy had a bit of a crack.
Yep.
But it's hard, man. It is very hard when you've got two of your best players.
Yep. They were the worst on the field.
Way off.
Worst on the field.
Way off. Sure. But when you're that great, you're going to have a day off.
Yeah, you get a pass. And they always play better at Four Pines.
And the next – you don't disrespect legends like that.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm going to go Manly plus 2.5. You mentioned it before. I like Olakuatu anytime I'm watching a Manly game.
Anytime.
Even with 78 minutes to go.
Doesn't matter.
With the game not online, he's still going to score you a try.
Backing.
$3.75, Olakuatu. And good luck to my mate, good mate Chez, who will
what's that, 309? How many games now?
309, I think. Yeah, so he passes Cliffy. He drew with Cliffy last week and he passed.
The great Cliffy.
But there's an asterisk next to that too.
Oh, because of Beaver.
Because they didn't give Beaver his Northern Eagles game.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
So Beaver's, you got to beat Beaver.
Whatever Beaver's number is, yeah.
349, Beaver.
All right, mate. The Dolphins versus West Tigers, Suncorp Stadium, 735. This is going to be a good game. I'm disappointed Galvin's not a part of this game because I thought it would. This is probably one of the more entertaining games of the season based on what the Dolphins and Tigers have done.
Yeah.
Ray Stone is the new player in for Max Plath, who got 2 weeks as well. Both hip droppers, actually, are both in this game. That opens up a spot on the bench for the OG. Kenny Bromwich plays his second game of the season, I believe. Lachlan Galvin's out. So Jaden Sullivan to 5'8", and look out for Latu Fainu. There's been a lot of chat about Latu for years. He's Samuela's brother. And I think this could be, with the emergence of Lachlan Galvin and Jerome Luai rocking up next year, I think this is a spot that Latu should be looking at to lock down the 14. Bit of nine, yeah. Bit of lock. He's a big boy and he can play some six. And he'll be battling it out with Jaden Sullivan, who's playing 5'8".
Dolphins. Easy.
Dolphins.
Easily, I reckon. They just play that brand of footy that it's yuck, right? They're pretty tough. They complete their sets. Katoa looks like he sort of found his feet. Nikarima, you got the fucking
Stefano and Clemmer have been impressive.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be a good battle.
I think
it'd
be good, but you know, Jesse and Flegler, they're no scrubs, man. I said that. I forgot to say it on our last show. Like, that's a good balance. You got the big OG, and then you got the young bull.
Yeah,
and Jesse ain't. He's not doing his work.
Footy IQ.
He's still doing his shit, man. Mm. He's got a nice little tip. He does. He's still class. Then you got Flegler, who just wants to fucking go at it. So you think Stefano's not going to go at him and he's not going to go at Stefano. Two young bulls, they want to meet in the Origin arena.
Yep.
They want to go for the same test jerseys, right? That's what you want.
Yes.
Two probably similar ages,
That'd be close. That'd be very close.
This is what I want to see.
Yep.
This is what I want to see. This would be interesting to see what the mentality between these two young kids, and they don't know each other, so they should hate each other.
Yeah.
And just take it personal. And if you're listening, take it fucking personal.
Let's
go out there and I want to see these two young bulls go at it.
Tab agree with you. Dolphins are $1.55 favourites. The line is 4.5. You can get $2.45 about the Tigers. I would have liked that price with Galvin, but I'm with you. I'm going to go the Dolphins.
I would have went Tigers if it wasn't for Galvin. That's how much I think he holds in that team.
So
I don't have that much confidence in Sullivan.
That's a 4-point swing. Mm. I'm with you, mate. I'm going to go the Dolphins, and I like Hamiso Tabuai-Fido for an anytime try scorer. First game of Sunday. This has got the biggest spread of the game of the weekend. North Queensland Cowboys versus the Gold Coast Titans, who have been very underwhelming. And Desi has finally made a few changes, mate. Todd Payton has resisted the urge to make any changes, though. He's got 1-17 that took on the Broncos. As for the Titans, Jojo Fifita, Harley Smith-Shields in the back line. Phil Sammy is missing from injury, and it looks like Alofiana Kampere has been dropped.
Jeez.
David Fifita is still named on the bench. I wouldn't be surprised if he moves into the starting lineup. With Isaac Liu sidelined, Jamin Joliffe, who scored the first try of last week, he moves into prop. Aaron Clark goes to lock. Josiah Pahulu will debut off the bench, with Kenan Palacio also sidelined.
Jesus.
Looks like it's one-way traffic,
this
mate.
It's going to be ugly. Cowboys will be pissed.
Cowboys are $1.15. Gold Coast are $5.50. And the line is huge. 3 tries, basically, -16.5.
Is it up there?
It's at North Queensland.
God, this could get ugly. There's a lot of players in there that you mentioned. I love footy that I've never heard of. You know what I mean? You can't put those guys in. I mean, you have to put those guys in to get some sort of effort out of them, but like they're not the answer. That shows the depth that they've got up, the lack of depth that they've got up there.
The biggest danger as well is the Cowboys have just come off probably their worst.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is going to be scary. They'll be pissed off. They got embarrassed last week, man. They got outplayed and out enthused. There's nothing worse than that.
Big brother too.
Yeah, and that game means it's like an Origin game for those guys. I remember playing my first game for North Queensland was against Brisbane at Suncorp. I was like, what does this feel like an Origin for? You know what I mean? It was like the hatred, and I mean, like it was that mentality of like we're the little brother. That was 2010, right? I think they're probably looking at him like we're the big dogs.
It flipped around.
It's flipping. You know what I mean? But like I remember playing that game, I was like, this is round one.
So
I'm not ready for this shit.
If the Cowboys and Broncos are fighting for big brother, little brother, what does that make the Titans?
Not even going to say.
Infant.
Yeah.
Infant baby.
He's fucking 3-month-old baby. They just rock the little baby like that. That's the little Desi. Just rock a little Desi like that. So that's what Kevy does. Kevy's rocking. Toddy Payton's got like fucking Desi in a pram.
We've talked that much shit about the Titans win now. Cowboys might
surely
six,
not.
Seven,
come
half.
On, no way.
And I've gone with Terraway, Kulikefu, Fine Fuiaki. He no. is opposite Tanner Boyd, who's still in the team. So I'll take that $3.10.
Yeah.
All right, mate. The last game. This is a tough one. Really tough one to pick. Canberra Raiders are at home against the Parramatta Eels. Atta Mariotta comes into the starting back line row. For Zach Hoskins, who is out with the concussion. Simi Sasangi joins the bench for the first time for the Raiders. As for the Parramatta Eels, Bailey Simonson comes in the centres whilst Morgan Harper has been dropped. Woo-de-boo! Greg is Woo-de-boo. Back in the 17 for his first game of 2024, and Brendan Hands is the guy that misses out. So
wow,
Hands two teams that would also be disappointed with their last start. Where do you see this one going?
See, I know what Ricky Stewart's like. I know what Canberra's like. This would be a lot of home truths coming at you.
Parramatta hate Ricky Stewart and Canberra
yeah,
as well.
I know. Like, it works there. Both ways. Mm. It works both ways. And so I'm saying, like, who can get the most out of their players and which players will rise to this occasion, right?
Tarpany, Papali'i versus Abolo and Reed.
They've got class everywhere, man. Where's it at?
Canberra.
Going Canberra.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
So
am I just think they've got it's that, tough, that steel. Like, I think, and I think they got more embarrassed than Parra.
Yes.
Parra had, Ricky was serious. Parra had the chance to win that game still, even though they played pretty awful in the second half. Gutho still had a chance to ice it and win the game. They got themselves back into that position. Mm-hmm. They still had a chance where Canberra were 18-0 after 22 minutes and they fucking got put 36 on them.
Sticky would have roasted them all week.
I would have hated being that. God.
Raiders for me, mate, as well. -1.5. Ethan Strange, anytime try scorer, $3.75.
He is so willing to put his body in front.
He's a Raider. He's a long-term
dog,
Raider.
Man. I don't know. I think if he keeps going like that, it could be some rep honours in front of him.
Yes.
Because he loves attacking. He's got that get a couple of class players around him because he starts building those combinations with his back rolls and stuff like that.
Every 5 or 6 years, we go through a purple patch of stars. So you think back to some of the OGs that are still going now, like Sean Johnson, Adam Reynolds, Daly Cherry Evans, Cheers. Foz. They're all 2010-11 sort of. Oh, maybe Foz was a little bit before, but he only played one or two games in his first Foz year. And then you got the middle part where you get like Munster, Cleary, Trbojevic, Luttrell, all in like 14-15. And I think now it's we're coming. Looking at Strange, Galvin, Blaise Talangi, some of these other Suafalongo. I think we're going through now a perfect match with some of these stars, young kids coming through.
It's good to see.
All right, mate. Enjoy your weekend in particular. Celebrate 20 years, how good. Monday. And everyone who's watching, enjoy the footy. We'll see you back at Review on Monday. And as always, we want everyone to remember, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Enjoy your weekend.
All right.
And we'll see you for the Review on Monday.